Hello, Rhema Bible Church. Y'all doing all right? Praise the Lord. You know, every once in a while, I get the opportunity to travel to one of our Rhema campuses around the world. And last week before, I was at the end of April, 1st of May, there in Guatemala City, doing that. They're doing a wonderful thing. This is their 10th year. I remember going down there in 2016 as we launched that campus. And now this is the 10th year, and great things happening there. And a lot of believers, they've raised up now over the years. They've got several instructors that are there in-house and doing a wonderful job and just taking the message of faith. Praise the Lord. Not the first ones there. You can, years ago, Rhema graduates Jim Zirkle and his family moved down to Guatemala and founded Living Waters Teaching down there. And a lot of folks that you might know, such as Jim and Faye Andrews, John and Alba Roman. Alba's from Guatemala, and John met her there, and Tim Rogers, all worked down there and got started together. Now they're all, of course, Romics in Colombia. The Andrews were in Peru for years, Tim and Rhonda in Mexico. And we just thank God for the impact and the legacy that Rhema has had all over the world. Now, how many of you know we're not the only one doing something great for God? There's a lot of great folks out there doing all kinds of great things for God. But you know, we're just talking about our part of the body. I'm like Paul said. I'm not going to compare myself, and you know, by all that, I'm just going to do what God. Stay within our sphere, and so we'll talk about how great things are happening here with the Rhema family, which you are a vital part of. Glory to God. What a great part of the body of Christ it is that we are a part of. Amen. Well, I want to do some teaching here tonight, and this will spill over as we go on, as I have some opportunities later on in the month, possibly, to pick this up. But, you know, how many of you have ever heard this statement in relationship to dealing with people? Once they tell you who you are, believe them. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, somebody, you're dealing with them, and let's just say, for instance, you're in a position, you know, like Brother Ernie, how many years have you been ushering at Rhema Bible Church now? More than you can count, right? But he's our lead usher, our head usher on Sunday mornings here for years. So he's got a lot. Over the years, he's had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different ushers move through. And, you know, sometimes when you're leading people and you tell them something that needs to be done, and, you know, sometimes they look at you and say yes, but then they don't do it. They're telling you who they are. You understand what I mean by that? I got good news for you. We got a God. Our God. He's not a liar. Amen? And when he tells us who he is, we need to believe him. Amen. I want us to go to Exodus chapter 3. You know, Moses was born in a time where God's people were in bondage to Egypt. God had heard the cry of his people. And Moses was supernaturally really saved from the edict of the Pharaoh at the time to put to death the male children, because Israel was growing so large in number that Pharaoh at that time was afraid that they would rise up and rebel. But God had a different plan. And God's talking to Moses about bringing forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in verse 13, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Now, one of the things that would help us in this, and every time this time of year, especially in the school year, in teaching on the subject of Bible doctrines, one, theology, we're talking about who God is. One of the things that is interesting for us to look at, and it's not something that's common to our culture, but it is common to a lot of cultures around the world, that a name represents the characteristics and the nature of whatever it is, all right? You know, and let's not forget, though, that God's given Jesus a name that's above every name. But you think about this. When I say the word cancer, how many of you know it has a there's characteristics. There's a nature there that tells us who it is. Well, God, throughout the Bible, especially from Old Testament to the New, up to the time of Jesus, reveals himself and his character and his nature to us by naming himself. Okay? And so here, this is vital to us, who he is. And again, when God tells us who he is, we need to believe him. All right, you ready? He says, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. I don't know why I had never really looked that up before. You know, I'm not a Hebrew or Greek scholar, but I understand the need to study the linguistic gap that is between what the original writer said and, you know, what we read today. How many of you know that, you know, you've heard me, I read out of the King James Bible, but I take the these and thous out because we don't say it that way anymore. So there's been a change, and even in our language, in just a few hundred years. We'll go back thousands of years there, and sometimes, you know, words don't mean the same. But I did find this interesting. I thought it was kind of funny. I liked it. Instead of I am that I am, this one scholar pointed out what God is saying, I am, he's basically said, I be what I be. I like that. I be what I be. Well, to be, he says, I am that I am. And thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. See, they didn't even know God's name. They didn't recognize God. They'd forgotten God's name. And he said, tell them I am, because he's about ready to deliver them. And they hadn't known him. They haven't known him as Jehovah. In fact, go over to chapter 6 and we'll... Verse 2 and 3. But remember the statement, I am. I am. I love that the aspect of that every time that God would say, I am, it was right now. Right now. Now we know from New Testament scriptures that the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is that aspect of God. But God doesn't see it as past, present, future. God is. I am. He said, I be. God's being right now. And every time you say I am, it's right now. Okay? And so now he gets here to verse 2 of chapter 6. It says, and God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. We'll get back to, he explains what that means here. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That's El Shaddai. Any of you ever heard that name before, El Shaddai? That's a powerful name. Almighty, it means God Almighty. I mean, when God revealed himself to Moses or to Abraham as God Almighty, remember Moses fell on his face before God. I mean, that's a powerful name. But he said, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And of course, that's the English rendering from the ancient language there. But he said, but by my name Jehovah. And up there in verse 2, he said, I am the Lord. He's saying, I am, and the Lord is Jehovah. I am Jehovah. The Lord, the name means, it's the covenant name of God. It's used over 2,500 times in the Old Testament. Moses writing, because he wrote the first five books there, the majority of them. Of course, he didn't write anything after he ascended and went off to where he went, you know, and Joshua's in charge. Joshua had to fill that in, or somebody did. But Moses, even in the early part of Genesis, he would use the word Jehovah for Lord. Jehovah Elohim, God, our Redeemer. And it's his covenant name. It's in relationship to his covenant. Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were never in bondage. With another nation. It wasn't like the children of Israel. They needed a Redeemer, someone to buy them out of the servitude that they were in that they didn't volunteer for. How many of you know we volunteer to serve God? He's not exercising hard control over us. He's not keeping us bound like this is, like the children of Israel were, and like the devil does to all people that don't know they're free from him. He said, I am Jehovah. I am your Redeemer. Not I was, not even I will be. I am, because every time he says it, it's right now. So we need to understand that about God. Now, here's something about it. There's no place in Scripture, because it'd be impossible to do away with this, because God said, I am, he still is today, Jehovah. He is today. Now we say, well, man, I thought Jesus. Well, Jesus is God, the Son of God, the second member of the Godhead. And he spoke, he used these I am statements throughout the book of John. There's several of them. How many remember? I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. When they came to arrest him there in John chapter 18, their soldiers, everybody, they said, he said, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. They all, that entire battalion fell over backwards under the power of that statement. I am. Glory to God. I am. It's so powerful, because throughout then the scriptures, God is named. And the area I want to spend time on in this set of teaching is found over here in Exodus chapter 15. Now here again, like I said, God, the Bible, throughout the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He said, and in Malachi says, I am Jehovah, I change not. He doesn't change. Now we change every second, seems like. People change. I told Pastor Denise this morning, I've been quoting her, she made a statement here several weeks ago, people be peopling. Amen. What does that mean? People just be out there being people. They're just out there doing their thing, you know. And even us Christians, you know, we still are people. But but people change and things change, but God is the same. Now, his covenants have changed because of the blood that put them in action. In the Old Testament, that blood of bulls and goats could only cover sin, but thank God the blood of Jesus wiped away the sin. In fact, it wiped it away so clean, there's no evidence you ever were a sinner. And in fact, you aren't, because you're a new creature in Christ. Old things have been passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. Now, in the New Testament, we're told to put off that old man, which was corrupt according to sin, but we're put on the new man, right? He told us to do that. See, in other words, you're new on the inside. That was instantaneous. But living the Christian life, you know, we've got to renew our mind. We've got to present our bodies, live daily. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The number one preacher against salvation by works said, after you're saved, work. Not before, it's after. Work it out. All right? So here in Exodus 15, verse 26, God speaking here said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Now notice this. I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians. If you study that out, you actually see I will allow them, I'll keep them from you that was on the Egyptians. Now notice this. For I am. Now the word am is in italics, but it's the same statement back in Exodus chapter 3. I am. Now notice this. The Lord that healeth thee. In other words, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer. Now, since he said I am, and it's impossible to kill God, and he doesn't change, that's a once for all statement for us. Because, you see people that, well, you know, I know back in Bible days, or they want to go, well, when the last apostle. But if God is the healer, whether or not there's any apostles. He was the healer before there were apostles. He was the healer while there were apostles. He's still the healer today. I am. Okay? I am. So, in our thinking, we need to let these statements that God makes forever settle subjects for us. And it's a shame that there's people in the body of Christ. I know they love God. Heck, I heard one minister say one time, love God on their way to heaven don't have a clue. Bless their hearts. How many of you could probably testify that there's been some areas that you were clueless on in things of God, right? And you know, the more you know God, the more you find out you're clueless. Like, oh, just as soon, you know, God doesn't change, you know, but there's, when he reveals himself to us, he doesn't just tell it. I mean, you don't get the whole revelation right at the moment. We couldn't process it. Hey, Ben, you know, you think you get to know God, and all of a sudden, you know, he just kind of, now he doesn't, when it says there's no turning in him, meaning what that means is God doesn't really cast a shadow because he is light everywhere, and he doesn't change. But how many of you know God has a back part, because he told Moses, he said, I'll let you see my back part. But you've been looking at the front part, then all of a sudden God shows you his back part, and you're like, whoa, I hadn't seen that before. Woo. And you think you got some new revelation. It's always been there. It's always God. Right? I am the Lord that healeth thee. See, when he said, I am that I am, it's impossible. God's not dead. Aren't you glad? I don't care what college campus they come up with that on. God's not dead. That was true before they made the movie here recently. He is the I am. And it is impossible. Now, I understand this, that we can, through doubt and unbelief, nullify who God is in our life. But I think it's a whole lot better. Wouldn't you agree it's a whole lot better just to take God at his word and let him be what he is? I am the Lord that heals you. He'll keep us. So what he's talking about, you know, Egypt's a type of the world. There's, just because of sin, you know, there's sickness and disease out there. You know, some people say, well, I used to hear stuff like this, and I don't know if they're the same questions or not, but, you know, some of us been around this. You know, I'm in my 46th year of ministry now. I'm getting ready to have the, and then go into the 47th. I like how Brother Hagin counted that stuff. I'm coming up on my 46th, you know, 46 years ago, June 30th, I got saved. Then 2 months later in August, I preached my first sermon. Was I qualified? Absolutely not. But I could preach somebody else's stuff. I could preach 7 steps to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by Brother Hagin. I preached it, taught it. Yeah. So that's my first sermon. Glory to God. So but you know, when you get to 47, then you started your 47th. But, and I had a point here. What was my point? No, but my wife doesn't even know where I was going. The Holy Spirit himself doesn't even know what I was trying to say. What? Egypt. Thank you, sir. Egypt. Egypt's a type of sin, you know. It's sin. It also, you know, God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt was a type of bringing us out of this world system into. And it represents it. And because sin's in the world, there's disease out there. He's saying here, I will keep you from the disease that's in the world because I am. I am. I am. So as a Christian, for Christians to say, I was talking about people that didn't have a clue, for them to say that something has ceased, God would have to cease being God. If you've read any of Brother Hagin's books on the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus to do what it did in the book of Acts and not do it today, then that name would have had lost its power. How many of you know that name's just as powerful today as it's ever been? You speak that name, it's the greatest name there ever was. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Whosoever shall call upon that name shall be saved, shall be healed, shall be delivered, shall be set free. All that word saved means, the completion of it, the fullness of all that God did in Christ through his miraculous birth, his sinless life, his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension and seating at the right hand of God, wherever he ever lives to make intercession for us. All that God did through Jesus Christ is wrapped up in that word saved. Amen. And we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And what's in the world? Yeah, thank you. I never thought about this before, but John 17, Jesus said, I've given them your word and the world's hated you because of this. And he said, I pray not, he said, because they're in the world, but not of it like I am. He said, I pray, Father, that you don't take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. Amen. So quit praying, God, take you home. Just take me, God, just take me, you know. Amen. I'm coming, Elizabeth. Some of you got the reference. Some of you have no idea what I just said, but some of you, how many of you got that reference? All right, my people. I see my people out there. But no, amen. He's going to keep us. To keep something. Now, when God keeps something, he keeps it. Woo! You know, how many of you have kept something? You kept it so well, you can't find it today. But that's not God. Hallelujah. He keeps us. Part of that is protects us. The Bible says that we are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird. Don't be weird. All right? I realize to the world having faith in God can sound weird, but we're not, but we're a peculiar. That means set apart. That means sanctified, and really it carries the idea of being kept. Woo! We're sanctified, and we're sanctified from sickness and disease, folks, because God's our healer. Amen. Now, you know, you've probably read and heard Brother Hagin, you know, if you've read his books or listened to him talk about health, healing, and then divine health. Divine health. Where you go, he talked about going for years, not even knowing he had a body. When it came to this area of sickness and disease. Sometimes not even having any attacks whatsoever. Just going along. Now, that doesn't happen just by existing. But that happens by the application of the Word of God. Amen? And then passing up the opportunities that you do have. How? By knowing that what you say and that symptom or that disease, that pain has to obey you in Jesus' name. So we've got to remind ourselves, and God has always been this way. Look at Exodus 23. Are you doing all right? I've been re-looking at this for myself, and it just seemed good to me to bring this here and then to go on from here, ever how long it takes us. Now, I mean, ever how many services, not how long tonight, but you know what I'm saying. Amen. Exodus 23, let's look at verse 25 and 26. It said, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. The number of your days I will fulfill. Long before David wrote Psalm 91, that said, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. God said, the number of your days I will fulfill. What's our responsibility? Just serve the Lord. Just love the Lord. Follow him. Do what he says. How many of you know to love God is to do his commandments? Right? All right. He said, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, this group of people, some scholars, you know, put it between 1.5 and 3 million people that came out of Egypt. It was a big group. It was a big group. You know, if you've seen that scene in the movie, The Ten Commandments, you know, where they're all lined up with Charlton Heston playing Moses. I kind of hope Moses looked a little bit like that. I really don't think he was Barney Fife, you know. But I think he was, you know, like that. But, you know, there's something in there that's not in the Word of God. Hollywood added it, and that was, there were sick people, there was lame people, there was all kinds of folks that they were doing. But look what Psalm 105 says, Psalm 105. Let me mention this, that in the New Testament, the Bible says all these things happen to them as examples unto us. And we've got a better covenant established on better promises. So even if in the old covenant, God's able to take sickness away from the midst of his people who are serving him not as his children, even though he wants to be a father unto them, but they are a stiff-necked and rebellious people. But if they served him and they walked in the covenant that they had, he was able to take sickness away from the midst of them. How much more in our covenant, in the new covenant that's ratified by the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that holy blood and the stripes upon his back, how much more is healing for us today? Psalm 105. Verse 37 says, concerning, he's talking about what happened there in Egypt, said, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one. Not one. Well, if that was available then, it's available now. Now, let me stop by saying this. There's no condemnation if you've got symptoms of sickness and disease. You're in pain. There's no condemnation. I'm just trying to stir us up and remind us that God's the healer. Amen? Thank God. Thank God for what doctors and different folks, thank God for what they can do and how they can help us. Amen? One of the things that it says concerning this was God showed Moses his ways and the children of Israel his acts. I know sometimes in this, we've got not only know God's will, we've got to know God's way. Right? And especially dealing with other people, let me just remind you what good practice is. Meet them, agree with them where they can agree. What do they believe in? I can't impose my faith, my personal faith on someone else. I might do this, but I can't impose that. Where are they? My friend in Kenya says, God will meet you at your points of needs. Everything's plural. Points of needs. Well, we need to meet people at their point of faith. Right? Hallelujah. But notice that not one. I don't even need to look that up in any word book. I know what that means. Not one means none. Think of that. Hallelujah. You remember in James, where James asked, is there any sick among you? As if it could be, no one is. Is there any sick among you, he says? He asked that question. That means it's possible. You could be, whoever James is writing to, it looks like his church, the church folks there in Jerusalem. He was the head of that church there. We see him in Acts chapter 15 in that Jerusalem, the conference at Jerusalem, whatever you want to call it. It was that meeting that they had where they brought Paul and Barnabas in and Peter spoke about the ministry to the Gentiles. And then James summed it all up. He was the pastor of the church, the head of the church. He summed it all up. This is James, the Lord's brother. And he asks, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Is there any? Is there any? Doesn't have to be. Is there any? Hallelujah. I think God has provided a higher standard of living than what we've attained to at times. Because think about it. This world system says, well, you got to be sick sometime. You got to be. Who said? Does God's word say that? No. God, and now, with all kinds of different things, and again, there's no condemnation in anything with God. He's not condemning. I'm not condemning when I say this. But even other things that Jesus bore for us, for instance, mental torment, anguish, anxiety, depression, oppression, all those, Jesus, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now again, no condemnation if you're dealing with these things, but I want you to know there is deliverance, there is freedom total from it. We're not talking about learning how to cope with that sickness. We're not talking about learning how to live with that disease. We're not talking about learning how to live with that torment in your mind. We're talking about being saved and delivered entirely from it. That's what the Word of God talks about. Well, I just don't know how. Listen, you don't have to figure it out. You just have to say, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. You ever thought about this? God said it, that settles it. For me, though, I got to believe it. Well, Romans chapter 3, verse 4 said, let God be true and every man a liar. God is true. Psalm 103, we're just looking at this really isn't the introduction to the message. These are just the opening scriptures, the foundational scriptures. And these are all Old Testament here because I want to establish, I think, you know, sometimes we don't go back in the Old Testament and let the Old Testament establish some things for us and see that really God hasn't changed. He always has been. You know, God has always been good. He's always been gracious and full of compassion. His tender mercies have always been over all his works. Psalm 103, look at verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Notice that benefits. Benefit. This is David. This is David. He's living under the Mosaic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. He's not living under the new covenant. And who does he, look how he describes God. He does what? He forgives all your iniquities. He does what? Heals all your diseases. Why? David knew him. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was the Lord that heals you. The Lord that heals you. I find it, you know, here again. We have that word, but we've got a better covenant established on better promises. If in the old covenant he healed all your diseases, can he do less in the new? No. That's why Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. That's why he went about teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's why in the gospels there's not one person who came to Jesus for healing that he ever turned away. Even in a multitude, there's not one account where Jesus looked at somebody and said, it's not God's will for you to be healed. No, everybody who touched him was made whole there in Luke chapter 6. That woman, I'm convinced, you know, we're not told what she heard about Jesus, but in Luke's account in chapter 6, everybody who touched him was healed for the power out of him. But in Luke chapter 8, we see that about that woman who came and touched him. I mean, she just decided, well, if they can touch him and be healed, I can touch him and be healed. Amen. Instead of looking at everybody else and saying, well, I just wish, you know, I wish I had. No, listen, if God did it for them, he'll do it for you. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. He is the Lord that healeth some. No, it didn't say that. I am the Lord that heals you. And it says there was the testimony of the word of God is there was not even one feeble person among their tribes. And you know they had young folks, they had babies, they had older folks, they had everybody in that group. And they'd been working. Listen, they weren't eating high on the hog. They didn't have proper nutrition. They didn't have any of that stuff when God brought them out of Egypt. They were in bondage. But God, if he's able to do that for them, he's able to do it for us. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. In verse 17, now I'll stop and say this. The Bible says that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. We say, well, that's an atheist. Well, let me ask you a question. A philosophical atheist will say there is no God, but a practical atheist lives as if there is no God. And you know, you can be a Christian and live as if there is no God. Amen. Why? Look what he says here. Verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Any of you ever been there? They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I'm so thankful that when I've been the fool, God God's still merciful. Amen. And notice what he did. He healed them. I mean, when it says they abhorred all manner of meat, glory to God. You know that, you know when you can't keep anything down, let's just be honest what he's talking about here. Whenever that would happen when I was in college, you know, people, we had I lived in a dorm that was built in the 1800s. So yeah, I'm not the ancient of days. I know who he is, but it was built a long time ago. And we had, every floor had its own, you know, had its own one shower in it, and had one place to go to the bathroom for our entire floor, which is only about 10 of us on that floor. It's just that kind of a building. But anyway, every once in a while, somebody'd be in there, and they'd be having stomach issues, and not keeping anything down. And I heard one of my college friends say this. He said, "Where's so and so?" They said, "Oh, he's in there worshiping the porcelain god, kneeled down in front." You know what I'm saying? But glory to God, even if you're in that state, God is merciful. Cry out to him. Cry to the Lord in your trouble. Amen? And if God can do that, then he can do it now. Last scripture, Malachi 4:2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Hallelujah. The prophecy concerning Jesus coming. I know it says S-U in there, but it's a type of Jesus coming. And what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And by his stripes, he bore the penalty forever for us for our physical healing. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him so that we could be whole, spirit, soul, and body. He is Jehovah, the I Am, the I Am. And he's our I Am right today, right now at this moment. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's all stand up and thank him for that. Just thank him in whatever area you need to thank him for. Thank you that he's your I Am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got, you know, like I said, whatever you need, he be. He said, I be that I be. I love that. Glory to God. Amen. Father, we just thank you in this place tonight. We thank you that you, Lord God, have said it, we can believe it. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for taking sickness out of our midst. Thank you, Father God, that that well of living water that's springing up on the inside of us is causing every sickness, every disease, every virus, every germ, every bad bacteria. It has to go in Jesus' name. You just have to get out in the name of Jesus. Just drives it out. Thank you, Father God, for healing us. Thank you, Father God, that we would have the same testimony as the children of Israel. There'd not be even one feeble person among our tribe. We give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for giving us that name that's above every name. That when we call on that name, we're saved. When we call on that name, we're healed. When we call on that name, we're delivered. When we call on that name, we have peace of mind. When we call on that name, we have hope. We give you all the praise and glory for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, ladies, come down to the ladies, men to the men. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. Don't forget, Friday night, if you can come to graduation right here, our 52nd graduation. Can you believe 52nd graduation of Rhema here in the USA? Come on, 7 o'clock on Friday night. Be here. Celebrate with a lot of your fellow church members that are going to be here. We've got some sitting right down here. Hallelujah. How many graduates we got in here tonight? You are going to graduate. What I mean, you're going to graduate Friday night. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're ready for you to graduate. Get out of here. No, I mean, we're ready for you to graduate. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Shake hands with several folks. Let them know you're glad they're here. See you on Wednesday night, Hour of Power.